When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
You're now listening to the Jillian Michaels Show.
Getting a good workout is obviously very important, but you shouldn't have to rely on changing your blinds to get one. Our friends at Blinds.com make it easy for you to install your new window treatments and give any room in your home or your office a designer touch all on your own. I will say, if you have ever tried to install blinds that are not from Blinds.com, it can take quite a while. Yeah, but at Blinds.com, you're going to find great discounts all April long, from your favorite brands to popular upgrades that are on sale. Go crazy over the value and the incredible customer service that's waiting for you. And guess what? You can try the blinds on before you buy them. Blinds.com has a really cool iPhone and Android app called The Window Shopper. It lets you take a picture of the window you want to cover, and you can try on the blinds with their augmented reality app.
That's cool.
I know it is! And of course, you can get free color samples, free shipping, free expert decorator advice, and prices that crush prices you'll find in stores. As always, the customer service is fantastic. They're going to make you smile. They're going to help you out. They're going to make it easy. They're going to get you what you need. So what are you waiting for? Check out Blinds.com today. Okay, everybody, the podcast has a new website, JillianMichaelsShow.com. And to thank each and every one of you for your support, we want to give you a 2-week free subscription to FitFusion. FitFusion.com is pretty much an on-demand fitness channel that has over 260 fitness videos. All my titles are up there. You can work out any place, anytime, anywhere, whether it's your computer, your smart TV, your freaking iPhone, on the go, a hotel room, you name it. And all you got to do is go to JillianMichaelsShow.com to sign up. Well, I feel like we have some catching up to do, ladies. We have not done a Too Famous segment in a while, and there might be several things that have happened to me that I am entirely too famous for.
Oh, tell.
Well, first, and I teased this when we recorded last, but we never got around to it. I had a shit storm in my house.
What's a shit storm?
It's a shit storm. An actual shit storm. A storm.
From
a storm
like
of water. No.
No, it's like fecal.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm on my way to the gym, and it's like my few minutes of me time, right? Yeah. Actually, can we get Heidi on the phone?
Yes.
Hello?
Honey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, honey. So we're just doing a little segment here. And I'm telling everybody how you have this habit throughout the day of
texting you random things.
Not necessarily random, but more like impending disasters. And then
there
just
was nothing today.
No, not today.
The day's not over, Mouse.
No, the day's not over. But we're just on a regular, and so
One day I'm on my way to the gym and she just likes to send me these non sequiturs, right? And it's Lou has explosive diarrhea. Okay. Remember this, honey?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just flat out, right? I'm like, okay. You know what the next one says? The toilet's clogged.
Oh, God.
Okay. So I'm like, well, we have Cody, right? Wonder assistant. I'm like, well, honey, I'm trying to do, the, you know, call Cody. I come home. And would you like to tell everybody how this manifested, sweetie?
Well, have you said anything yet or no?
No, not yet.
Oh, well, so Lou, yeah, she was sick. And then she has a habit of using way too much toilet paper. And we found this out, I guess, the hard way. But
you guess?
Yeah.
You guessing at that?
Too much toilet paper.
Yeah.
So the toilet was at the water was at the brim of the toilet. And Hallie, the nanny, and I are just standing there looking at it. And
that's what they're doing.
Hallie has a plunger. And so I was trying to plunge it. And then Phoenix hit the flusher. And so that was the beginning of the end, basically. And so then the toilet started overflowing.
Right.
And then Hallie and I are screaming like girls because there's diarrhea water going everywhere, all over our feet, all over the floor.
Yeah, but no, it hasn't actually begun yet, though.
So then
I
say, hey, Cody, you know, the toilet overflowed, blah, blah, blah.
Then she says, hey, Cody, I've already gotten a series of texts saying Cody should be your first call.
Oh, no, Cody already knew this, but he didn't know how bad it was.
Okay.
I just told him it was clogged.
Okay.
I didn't tell him, and then I told him that it had overflowed, but it seemed to be okay now. And so then he gets there, he plunges it, he's like, it went down. All of them.
I come home.
I hear water. No, you weren't even home for the first part.
Oh, right, that's right, because I didn't actually hear about it until I discovered it. That's right. This is the part she doesn't tell me.
The first time, Cody's like, yeah, it went down, but I hear water, and it sounds like it's raining. And so I'm like, where is that coming from? Because I thought maybe Phoenix had turned water on or something was going on. So I go into Phoenix's room, and it is literally raining water, like pouring rain from the ceiling on half of his room. So as fast as I can, I, like, scoop up his carpet, move everything out of the way.
And I yell
for Cody. And he's like, oh, my God. And he's like, oh, I thought it went down. Well, it went down, but it all went down into Phoenix's room.
Into the ceiling. The pipe exploded.
So then he goes, okay, I'm going to take the toilet apart and see if I can find what's clogging it, see if I can find the leak. Oof. And so he takes the toilet off, and when he does that, it starts pouring rain again. And I think, Jill, that's when you got home for the second installment of the rain. And you didn't even see when it was really pouring. You saw
when
it was medium pouring.
Yeah, pouring.
But anyway.
So now I come home.
Oh, Jesus.
And I didn't hear about this part. I heard Lou has diarrhea. Pause. 5 minutes later. The toilet's clogged. Pause. The nanny got diarrhea on her shoe. Pause.
I don't even know if I said that.
But. Oh, would you? Really?
Maybe I did. Maybe.
Really, honey?
Yeah, you did.
Maybe the poop emoji.
Yeah. That's right.
Raining the poop emoji.
Yep. So I come home.
Whoa.
And I'm like, I got to get hair and makeup done. I'm working that day. And I hear the rain. They haven't told me yet that this is happening. Autumn was there. Yeah. They haven't told me yet that this is happening. And when did we discover, Autumn, that this was actually happening?
Autumn was there, wasn't she?
Yeah. But even when there, I didn't even realize what was happening until
I
went in the room and they're like, it's raining. And I thought that Cody was joking. You did?
Ugh. I didn't quite grasp
the severity.
You'd never understand that.
I didn't grasp the severity of the situation until I went into the downstairs bedroom. And
I remember
it was gushing water through the ceiling.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, so now I walk in and I'm like, oh my God, why haven't we turned off the water?
Well, we're trying to figure that part out. Meanwhile, so I did figure it out before Jill did, but everyone's trying to keep her. I was trying to keep her away while we all scratch our heads trying to figure out what to do about this. Cody was trying to figure out how to turn off the water, and she found her way, got in there, and
yeah, she tells me everything, right? Except, hey, it's raining. It's not raining. It's pouring shit water through the ceiling in Phoenix's room. And by the way, the guest bathroom.
Yeah.
Well, because I think it was too much of a disaster. We were trying to clear everything out and deal with it, so I didn't have time to pick up my phone and text you.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Fair.
So we then spent the rest of the afternoon trying to manage a... Literally, so now I'm running around. Managing the storm, which you can imagine how that smelled in the house for days. The ceiling has been cut. Then my assistant goes, Cody goes, we're going to have to open up the whole ceiling and the whole wall with a chainsaw. He's cutting all this stuff himself, waiting for the plumber, opening up the ceiling and the wall. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Beautiful new home, right?
Oh, yeah, the beautiful new home. Yeah, uh-huh. It's the third pipe, by the way, that burst. Just this one was in the house with sewage. Cut to, you may have noticed, we have a new addition. Stella the pig.
Oh, my God.
So I tell Mouse, oh, no, Autumn. No, 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 no. Get over here. So I tell the mouse in jest, oh, I really want a pig.
That was not in jest. You really wanted a pig.
I said.
And a rat.
Honey, I was joking.
But you weren't.
Oh, my God. She got it for you because she thought you wanted it.
Oh, they got a pig, all right.
So,
oh,
yeah. Not a pig. A wild boar.
You were the one that kept saying, what's happening with the pig, honey? What's happening with the pig?
No, Heidi, okay.
Me. I was bad at following up. And so if you wouldn't have said that, I just would have left it.
No, no. Here's what happened. So I was like, oh, for Christmas, I want a pig. Hee, hee, hee.
No, Christmas, you wanted bees. And I got you bees.
Oh, my God.
They have bees.
Well, you know, whenever they get a new creature, this is how it happens, too. I don't know that anything's coming. It's just Jill drops it in on non sequitur. Like, oh, yeah, so... Well, that's the new swimming pool for the pig, or we're, you know, Cody's building the thing. Oh, it's for the bees. The bees? We have bees coming. When? Tuesday. I mean, it's like any minute.
Wait, I'm allergic.
Show up.
Yeah.
Oh, you got the pig? Yep, we got her Saturday.
Yeah. She walks through the dog door. So anyway, I'm joking, but Heidi starts doing all this research and starts sending me pictures of homeless boars. And now I'm like, oh my God, and she's like, all these pigs, and you know, people think they're cute as little piglets, and then they dump them, and they're in shelters, and they're being abandoned. And so now I'm like, oh my God, we have all this, we have to provide a home for a pig. Yeah. Yeah. So we now have what's about 100-pound boar.
Oh my God.
Right?
Yeah, she's a big girl.
It's bigger than you. Honey, she's enormous.
She is pretty big.
She's enormous.
You can't move her if she doesn't want to move. I guess that's all that matters.
She's enormous. Okay?
How did you get her?
Heidi found her at a rescue.
Oh, my God.
So listen to this.
She's very sweet.
She's really
so sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's aww. Sweet.
Uh-huh. I hear they make good pets. Didn't George Clooney have
one? And they're smart.
But yeah, do not, let me give a word to the wise. If you do not have the setup for a pig, do not get a pig, because you'll be one of those people that abandons them, because they tear everything up in the yard.
Really?
Yeah, they need dirt. They need to tear everything up. They eat plants, like, ooh, you know, and if you don't have room for them, just like a dog, they'll chew things, wreck things, get aggressive. You have to be able to accommodate them. So anyway, we let said pig walk around on the property. Heidi, okay, said pig comes inside one day covered in tar, some sort of tar-like substance, her entire right side. So Autumn and I now, I'm like, oh my God, what is this? What is this? Come to find out it's something called Tanglefoot that Heidi has wrapped around the trees in the orchard.
Oh, jeez.
Would you like to talk about that, honey?
Well, it's just so the ants don't take over the tree. So you put the sticky stuff around the trunk, and then the ants can't crawl up and basically attack your fruit and all of that stuff. But it's sticky.
No, it's not. It's tar. It is not. So Autumn and I are now Googling, not me, Autumn. Well, I have, because I've got it on my hand and couldn't get it off my hand. So it's like, you know, oh, citrus, baby oil. You know, I can't put turpentine on the pig. Okay, try this soap, baking soda, vinegar. I can't get it off my hand. I now have a glove on the other hand. I'm chasing this screaming boar around the backyard trying to get this off. And she's running in circles, screaming. It's covered
sad.
In dirt now on her back. Am I wrong?
No.
Am I wrong?
No.
Autumn's
no.
on Google screaming different solutions at me.
And it's the weirdest texture because it's sticky and oily.
Yeah.
It's really odd. I was like,
didn't you just get promoted?
Yeah. It's part of the job description.
Autumn is now saying, I'm too famous for this.
Yeah. I'm like, there's got to be a way. I refuse to believe that we can't get this off of her.
Okay. Well,
we couldn't get it off of her.
No.
Really?
No. And Autumn, so Autumn's now reading me stories from gardeners who, because it's like she Googled like how to get it out of your dog's hair. And apparently, you know, this one gardener is like, oh, I was gardening and I fell headfirst into the tanglefoot and it's like hysterical. And so Autumn's like, try the baking soda. And I'm like, Stella, come here, girl. So then I give her like this scoop of watermelon to try to get her to sit still. And now she's got this thing of watermelon hanging out of her mouth while she screams in a circle trying to get away from me in the yard. With I've got baking soda in one hand, a lime in the other, a barrel of soap under my freaking armpit. I'm like, come here, sweetie. Come here, girl. And she's like, come on. Running, screaming. I mean, if it doesn't get too famous for this, I don't know. Like, seriously? And you know where Heidi is? Heidi's like, I'll come home and help you. Oh, no. No. Heidi doesn't come home until 6 o'clock because the kids are on spring break. She doesn't come home. Doesn't come home.
But I came home and I got it off of her.
No. The pig. No. The pig is now traumatized. She's literally comatose now in her bed. Hours later, because I've chased circles around her, trying to wash her, trying to baby oil her, trying to put baking soda on her. She's stuck to the bed. And the only one, by the way, that the pig actually likes is Heidi. She hates the kids. She hates the dogs. She doesn't really like me. And the only one she likes is Heidi. So after I've been trying, I have so much work to do. And I've been trying for hours to get this off of the pig. I've now laid all this stuff down on her bed. And I'm like, and Heidi come, and I'm like, thanks, honey. Thanks for nothing. Thanks for absolutely nothing, honey. F you, honey. F you. I'm so mad. Oh. Autumn's like, I'm leaving. And Heidi sits down and goes, Stella, what are you doing with the baby? I don't know, Mama gonna figure it. And then just sits there, and the pig just lays there.
Oh, my gosh.
As she proceeds to try to clean the tanglefoot out of her fur, wow. Which, by the way, is not entirely effective.
So, Mouse, it's what works? Out. What works?
Dawn and baking soda.
Dawn and baking soda for all those pig owners out there.
Okay.
But I think probably the baby oil helped as well. So I think, like, whatever you put on her originally and didn't take off, I think the combo did it.
Didn't take off. Well, honey, I couldn't really get her.
Oh, wait, you forgot the part where you were spraying her with
the hose, and then she runs around.
So I couldn't get her, and now she had soap, baby oil, baking soda, lime pulp all over her.
And how fast can a pig run?
Oh, dude.
Fast. Really fast.
Oh, really fast.
A fat
pig. Oh, yeah, dude. No, it's like, da-na-na-na-na-na. Na 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 na.
Wait. They can really move that.
Oh no. Yes. Oh no, yeah.
Yeah. Her
They're
little
fast.
Legs like brrr,
yeah.
She's whoa.
Yeah, they can,
they can sprint like a little dog.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're fast.
Oh yeah. Whew. Yeah, and they squeal and fart and snort the whole time.
They're so big.
They squeal, fart, and snort. It's like, it's amazing. It's like a mini horse. You know how horses will like buck and fart and then whinny? They will squeal, fart, and snort. And it's like, and then they just run. And I'm so I turn on the hose because I got to get it off of her. And of course she won't sit still. So I'm chasing her around the yard with the hose while she screams, farts, and snorts. And Autumn's like, you've got a call with Kmart a minute ago. I'm like, hold on. And Autumn's like, Jill, the president of Kmart's on the line. I'm like, just a minute. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And why did you get a pig?
It needed a home.
Yeah.
She's
really sweet.
You're going to end up with, like, a zoo if you keep this attitude up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You cannot save
a donkey and a cow for his birthday because Joe wanted a rat and a pig.
No, I didn't. I was kidding about the rat.
You weren't kidding about the rat. And then you told me you have a name for the rat, and now you're ready to get a rat.
Oh, I do not.
Jillian.
Arturo or something.
Jillian.
Ratatouille.
I did suggest that if we got a rat, Arturo would be a cute name.
It would be cute.
Arturo. But.
Yeah, that is cute.
I know. But I didn't get one. I just said, should we have gotten a rat, I would have called it Arturo. But I didn't get a rat.
Because you were afraid the dogs would kill it. Not because you don't want one.
I don't.
It could ride the pig.
See, Heidi knows, Jillian. She knows she wants that rat and the zoo of animals.
She does. She had a rat as a child.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, you know what, honey?
God bless you,
Thanks for all your help that day.
I got it. I got it at the end of the day. I got it.
I really appreciate it. Oh, can I just tell you one more thing? I know this segment's gone on for an eternity.
The bird? Did you do the bird already?
Oh, no, I didn't do the bird. Maybe we'll need another. Oh, we need to do another segment. Mm-hmm. All right. Another week. Yeah, I forgot. Remind me to tell you about the bird and the snake.
Okay.
Bird, snake. Oh, the snake.
Noted.
Yep. Okay. We'll be back. Okay, athletes, triathletes, weekend warriors. If you're like me, you've probably been injured. And I think everybody in this room, I'm looking at Michelle right now. You're... Got a little Arcticese on her right now. If you don't want to slow down for ice therapy, check out the Arcticese Instant Cold Wraps. You have never experienced anything like it before, and here's why. It's cold therapy that you can use while you're still active. So you can run, you can bike, you can lift, and you can keep your joints and your muscles wrapped and cool. They stay in place. They give you similar benefits of recovery, just like ice therapy. The surprising thing, you do not need a freezer. The design is comfortable. It's sleek. It fits perfectly. So you don't have to strap the bag of frozen peas around your knee and feel silly, bulky, and uncomfortable. All you got to do is put Arcticese on, and you've got targeted instant cold and compression therapy where you need it, before, during, and after exercise. For pain, swelling, and injuries, you can safely use Arcticese for instant, long-lasting cold compression therapy even while you're training. So, you know what I'm going to say? Don't put your training on ice. Get reusable Arcticese cold wraps at your local retailer and get instant cooling relief when and where you need it. Or visit arcticese.com. The National Academy of Sports Medicine is looking for people who want an exciting career in the fitness industry. Wake up every day and do something you love. NASM trainers are improving people's lives by helping them reach their health and fitness goals. And guess what? The demand for fitness trainers is huge. Just imagine waking up every day excited to go to work. Not a job where you punch a clock, but a career where you're helping people doing something you love. Get paid to stay in shape, help others, set your own hours. You can work in a health club, a sports clinic, corporate wellness. You choose. Do what you truly enjoy and get paid for it. There's no time like the present to make a happy change in your life. You can start with a certification from the National Academy of Sports Medicine. Plus, NASM guarantees that you will land a job as a personal trainer within 60 days of earning your CPT certification, or they'll give you your money back, guaranteed. So just go to myusatrainer.com for a free 14-day trial of their fast and fun online program. That's myusatrainer.com. Restrictions do apply, so visit myusatrainer.com for details. Okay, so we're back, and we've got our very favorite doctor, Dr. Van Hurley, here with us today. Hey, Dr. V, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing, Jill?
I'm doing so well, and I'm so grateful you could be on. And what we want to ask you about today is birth control. And this whole thing came up when Michelle, tell Dr. V, well, I personally have my own questions about it because I have read all this stuff. You know, the World Health Organization says it's causing breast cancer, blood clots. And then Michelle, tell Dr. V, I guess you were like reading the warning label on your birth control and freaked out.
Well, yeah. I mean, I haven't yet decided to go on it. I have such bad pain that I'm like, right. I might have to.
You mean PMS pain, honey?
No, like stomach cramp pain. Like, I think, like, so bad that I'm like, can't even move. It's just awful. And I'm one who doesn't want to go on pills and stuff. So I've been trying to do this the natural way, and it's not working. But I was looking into this. Yes, right. You know, I was thinking, well, I guess I'm going to have to do this. Got to live my life. So birth control takes away all the pains, I hear. And then I was reading about it, and it's just the side effects are just terrifying. I don't know how over 60 right. million women are on this without right. feeling frightened.
So yeah. So Dr. V, tell, because I also have questions, because I've heard on one hand, oh, you know, it increases your risk of cancer. If you start teenage girls on it, you know, it really can cause problems. And then on the other hand, I've sat next to doctors on panels who are like, if you really want to stabilize your hormones and prevent cancer, we should all be on birth control. And it makes you feel like you don't know what the heck is up or down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know why you feel like that? Because that's exactly what the medical world is feeling, that we're not quite sure. Uh-huh. You guys are no fools, and we okay. know that. And, Jillian, okay. you're one of the smartest people I know. So the reason you're having questions is because we're all having questions. So let's have okay. our questions together. I think the first and most important thing to remember is that when we're talking about, let's say, the birth control pill, this is birth control now, and that's a little different than hormone replacement, but right. we look to both postmenopausal, you know, hormone replacement and birth control, we kind of look at that a little bit similarly because there are studies that we try and cross-compare, learn from one study for the other and so forth. But the key thing to remember is that once a woman has what we call menarche, so that means the first onset of your menstrual cycle, and you start seeing that normal rise in puberty of estrogen and progesterone that cycles, we know that this is a natural part. And for women, it's a certain part of our life, but a large part of our life, of having these hormones. We need estrogens and progesterone. And it's not just to be able to ovulate, in my opinion, as an endocrinologist, but also because these are our life-sustaining hormones for us. And we're going to talk, I think, a little bit. We had some questions that had already come up in terms of, you know, thinking and depression and mood. They're life-sustaining hormones. So the question is, well, if we are going to start playing what I say, with all due respect, playing God, like, if we're going to start saying, right. well, gosh, right? Like, are we going to add something? Like, are right. we adding a birth control pill? Are we adding extra estrogen? Are we adding both progesterone and estrogen, one, the other? And after menopause, what are we doing? That's where it gets tricky, because the hard part is we don't know. And the studies we have aren't great. There are some important studies, but they're not great. So I don't know if you want to go through some specific questions and topics that we were talking about before.
Yeah, I would love to. So, okay, well, first, I got another question before I jump into specifics. Sure. Are the pills created equal? Because then I hear, you know, then somebody will say, oh, no, this pill is very different than that pill. That right. pill is dangerous, but this pill's not. Or, mm-hmm. no, this is the new pill. And you're just like, wait, what? You know,
I know, it's like a pill mafia or something.
Yes. Then I'm like, is this the drug companies trying to push, you know, yeah. my OBGYN to sell me this drug, which I'm not yeah. going to be on birth control for obvious reasons. I'm 41 and gay. But, like, when my teenage doctor with my close friends, you know, right. is this, well, but they do try to actually push on me because it's like, oh, no, you need to, you know, your hormones and stabilize and this, that. So are they equal or are they different? Yeah.
They're different. And the important thing about that question is, if you think about when birth control pills started getting marketed in the 1960s, what ended up happening is that at that point they were giving so much replacement or additional hormone that you basically, it was like almost, we call it supraphysiologic. It was almost 1,000 times plus more than normal amount of hormone. And very quickly by the 70s, what we understood was, wait a minute, you don't have to give that much estrogen and that much progesterone. You can actually change it. And that led to this boom, multi-billion-dollar industry of, you know, of basically controlling a woman's fertility and giving a woman a right. And it started dividing it up into a whole bunch of different types of basically birth control that each one has some benefits or some cons, you know, pros and cons.
Okay.
And they are very different. I think that it's really critical to understand that what you're trying to do, right, with the pill right. is our brain, our pituitary, which is an endocrine organ, it's just behind, like if you put a finger at your nasal bridge, like where your glasses or your sunglasses sit, and you pointed your finger back, the pituitary gland is back there, and it makes two hormones, follicle-stimulating hormone and luteinizing hormone, that have to do with fertility, and by the way, have to do with testosterone production wow. in men and by the testicles. So the FSH and LH made, and there's other hormones, but they're made, they circulate in the bloodstream, they go to tell the ovary, okay, do this, like build up this lining at this time, then kick out an egg, ovulation, and then do the whole cycle again. So it's a really nice, what we call endocrine feedback loop. And what always happens is the pituitary, that is sort of the gatekeeper, it's like control tower, endocrine control tower, is monitoring how much estrogen, progesterone is put out, what's happening at the level of the ovary. And when we give the pill, what we're doing is we're overwhelming that. And it's like all of a sudden we're putting this whole bunch of estrogen and or progesterone or just progesterone in the bloodstream. And the pituitary says, oh, wait a minute. And it says, oh, this is all out there. I don't need to signal anymore. So it shuts down that part of its operations, if you will.
Wow.
And FSH, LH go down. So what we want to try and do is make sure as physicians and patients and people that you're giving the right thing for the right person. So there really are individual differences. Once you shut that down by giving estrogen, progesterone, you don't ovulate. So that's how women are able to not get pregnant.
Got
right?
it. Okay. And I got another one. I'm so sorry. This led me to another question. One thing I have heard about when you supplement hormone replacement therapy. I remember, because you know me, I'm always like, oh, am I missing something? Is this the fountain of youth? And so when I looked into all this stuff Suzanne Summers was talking about and human growth hormone and all this, I, of course, heard a bunch of scare things as well that did, in fact, scare me. But someone else told me, you know, if you supplement things like HGH, your body is going to stop making the HGH on its own, which sounds like it's kind of what you said about the pituitary, is that when we're overwhelming it with these hormones, it doesn't need to continue making more. So does your body become then dependent on the birth control pill?
It's a really good question, and we relate this to thyroid and thyroid disease a lot. So the same thing, pituitary makes TSH, and it tells our thyroid gland to make our neck. To make some thyroid hormones. And what we've looked at, and those studies have been done, is interestingly, for this feedback loop, that's how we call it, the pituitary FSH-LH to the ovaries, this one actually seems to do okay. That if you can supplement, you can stop. And, we say to women it can take 3 to 9 months at least. You know, sometimes it takes women longer start getting back their own feedback and their own ovulation. But generally, it's really interesting, maybe because it's such an important, like, life essential axis, meaning to be able to propagate and ovulate, this one comes back. Oftentimes, if you give men testosterone, you actually start shrink. Their own testicles don't get stimulated, and they shrink down, and it doesn't always come back. Same thing with the thyroid.
Okay. Well, if there are any men listening, don't play with the testosterone cream unless very specific. Whoa. Thank you for that one. Hey, Jake, you appropriately scared?
Yeah.
It's a great question, and that's why when folks will say, well, I want to take, you know, this, I want to take thyroid, I want to take that. For those, we say be a little bit careful because you atrophy what we call the end organ. The ovary apparently seems much more resilient to that because it's an excellent question.
Okay.
And it seems like you can stop it and everything works again.
Because then I wondered, because this leads me to my first question of symptoms. I have heard that if you're on the birth control for a very long period of time, it can be linked to infertility. So then is this not true or we don't know?
Yeah. So we don't know exactly, and most of this whole conversation that we're having today is we don't know.
No.
And that means we have, you know, we're asking the questions together to hopefully get some kind of cogent way that we can start studying this.
That's scary. I mean, think about it.
Look, it's Russian roulette.
How many women are on this thing, and it's just, we don't know? It's unacceptable.
I know. And fertility, just as a sidebar, if you look at the big studies that have been done, it does not seem to show that there's any increase per se in fertility rates because of being long-term on the pill. There are pros and cons to being long-term on the pill, and you know there's pros and cons to having more pregnancies, and you know it goes back and forth. And I think that if we're looking at the whole idea of cancer risk, and I think that's the big topic people want to know first, right?
That and blood clots.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Right. And blood clots and cardiovascular. So we can take, like, let's talk about cancer risks, because one of the first things, there was that recent British Journal of Clinical Pharmacology, April 2015 article. So excuse me, it was just coming up. It's going to be published, but there was already a sort of a release, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that talked about looking at women who were ages 15 to 49, and what they were trying to do, and this was a Danish study, they looked at the national registries, and they have the capability of doing that, which is terrific, because they can actually look at all women. Can you imagine? All women in Denmark between those ages. And what they did is they looked at data. They looked at data from 2000 to 2009, again, for the 15 to 49-year-olds. And what they were trying to see is if they could find any association or correlation with a brain tumor, a brain cancer that is called, or growth, that is called glioma. Now, glioma is a graded kind of brain tumor. Tumor just means growth, but when you get, it goes from grade 2 to 4. When you get to a grade 4, it's called glioblastoma. This is a terrible brain cancer. But they're talking about, and that's one of the questions that we have, is when they called it glioma, what was the actual rating of that? And we're waiting to hear some of the details, at least I am, on this. Mm. But what they found was, of all these women, and this is, you know, a population of the country, they found an association that was statistically significant. That means the biostatisticians looked at this and they found 317 cases out of all of these women that were on the birth control pill that had glioma as a new onset, and they had a lot of what we call age-matched controls. They had 8 per case. So they actually had a big enough population that they could get statistical significance. Now, remember, statisticians are fabulous, and biostatisticians know numbers, but sometimes you can, I'm not inferring that anyone tweaked these numbers, I'm just saying that sometimes you see numbers that come statistically significant, but medically, and as again, as human beings, you have to say, does that really correlate? Okay. What even, and I give full respect to the doctors and scientists that ran this, what they even said afterwards is that there is maybe an association, but this has to be looked at very carefully. So the brain cancer, the glioma question, the brain tumor question, mm-hmm. and birth control, I still think it's going to be much longer down the road. And do I have a hunch that if you are on, again, huge doses, well, I would even say of, let's say you're talking about testosterone, estrogen, progesterone. If you're on big doses of any of these things, we have seen, again, incidentally, slight increases in brain tumors. We see people that use these agents for sports enhancement. And unfortunately,
yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Of
I mean,
course.
Jillian,
absolutely.
In your line of work.
All day long. All right? day long. And I think you asked, Andy is a former Olympian. And
wow.
I mean, tell her about how you've seen this stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hi, Dr. V. It's Andrea. It's just, you do see things that happen long term, and then you hear about, you know, cases of athletes who weren't as finite in their understanding of the drug, and then how people in the 60s did high amounts, and they had no discretion of it, and then enter the growth hormone with the stacking of the testosterone, and you see the incidence of what that has happened now. You know, I understand now that they know a lot more about the finite amounts, and in the beginning when it was just such an influx. But you do hear of people getting certain cancers or certain things that you wouldn't affiliate with an athlete having.
Look at Lance Armstrong.
Yep.
Look at Lance. I mean, not to you know, but we now know he obviously was taking stuff and he had testicular cancer, which makes me want to ask you about breast and ovarian, because when you're putting this excess estrogen in the body, isn't excess estrogen linked to these kinds of cancers?
Well, this is the big question, because if you look at it, right, that study, and there were a couple studies, the Women's Health Initiative, you know, the big study that was stopped a little bit earlier.
Yes, I thought it was the World Health. Yes, it was the Women's Health Initiative. I'm sorry, Dr. V. That is what it was called, right?
Yeah, the WHI did that, and that was a huge study. I mean, they had almost 200,000, 161,000 people in it or something. I mean, it was incredible. 161,000 postmenopausal women. It was a hormone replacement study, but they were looking at these kinds of things, and some of the outcomes that they were looking at for hormone replacement. Again, it's a little different dosing than birth control, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the pill specifically.
Okay.
But what they saw is that even in HRT, hormone replacement therapy, whether you're on estrogen and progesterone or estrogen alone, they actually saw some decreases in colorectal cancer. Obviously, some vascular things increased, like clots. We'll get to that.
Okay.
And then there was this question about this breast cancer risk, and that's really what got everyone scared. So now let's turn back to birth control. And birth control is a little different because the numbers and what we dose with is a little bit different. So those studies and the majority of things that we see is that there's actually potentially reduction by being on the pill of ovarian cancer and endometrial or uterine cancers.
Oh, really? See, that's what this doctor said on the panel. Some doctor, I was sitting for Cosmo, and she's telling all these teenage girls to take birth control to prevent cancer. And I was like, wait. what? Right. But I, of course, didn't say anything because I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But
right.
I okay, so there is evidence to suggest that.
That's correct. Wow. And so a reduction in ovarian and endometrial, potentially, that's a possible benefit, actually.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
It has less ovulation. The theory is that if you're not taking those eggs out every month, you don't, you actually have control on them. And you don't have your peaks and ebbs of your own hormones, so that you have this low basal amount of hormone, of estrogen, let's say, or progesterone, or both. But what ends up happening is you're not subject to this every 28, you know, 32 days, up, down, up, down, up, down. And that may be, in part, protective. And they say if you take the pill for 5 years and over, you may actually cut your ovarian cancer risk down by half.
Okay, oh so all gosh. This time I'm killing myself every month, not going on the pill, thinking that I won't get cancer, and I'm like preventing all this, and I'm really going to get cancer for
No. And uterine, right? Uterine cancer, the same thing, that if you take it at least 4 years, you may cut that cancer in half.
Wow.
And this lasts for at least, this protection, especially for uterine cancer, that can last for at least 10 years after you stop taking the pill. And for ovarian cancer protection, maybe up to 25 years after you stop taking the pill. Now, there is data for these thoughts. And so that's where a lot of us get solace. Like, we understand, look, I am not as far as I would put women on the pill to protect for this. I got to be honest with you. Mm. I still believe in just general good health and health screening and all those things. You know, get your pap smear, see your gynecologist, all those things.
Right.
But then you have to look at the flip side. Okay, so we've got two that, you know, are actually helpful, ovarian and uterine, maybe, in terms of being on the pill. And then you've got two that may be slightly increased, and that's cervical cancer.
Right.
And also breast cancer. So
got
the breast cancer, again,
and
that was
possible
going back
gliomas.
To that. Yeah, right?
Right, okay.
And maybe glioma. So that's where
I'm
we are.
I'm keeping a tally right now. Yeah. I'm like, okay, glioma's on the bad. Okay, I'm sorry. Go on, Dr. V.
So, no, because glioma's on the bad, cervical cancer's on the bad, breast is on the bad. But in each one of these, we see, like, for instance, in cervical cancer, if you're on the pill and you're 5 years off the pill, you go back to your same risk. The beauty of cervical cancer, if there is anything beautiful about this one, and cancer is never beautiful, trust me, but we can do pelvic exams, pap smears. We can vaccinate for HPV. That's a very strong correlate, the human papillomavirus, genital warts, cervical warts, especially in the subtypes. It's very highly correlated with this cancer. Our physicians and our experts in gynecology know how to screen for this. Breast cancer, we know how to screen for it. You can even get the digital ultrasound if you don't want to get the mammogram. Breast self-exams, I cannot say, excuse me, everybody must know their bodies. It is so critical. We've talked about this, Jillian, before.
Yeah,
it's like,
proactive.
look at your pee, your poo, look in the toilet, do your breast exam. You know, check yourself out. And I mean that in a medical sense. Learn how to do it. Ask your doctor. Teach me. Show your partner how to do it, husband, wife. It doesn't matter. Have somebody that is with you. Some folks are very funny about this. They actually don't want to do their own exams. They don't want to do their breast exam.
Because you don't want to find anything and be there going, oh, my God, I think I found something. Because it scares me. I don't like to do it. I'm like, what is that? What is that? And it's like fibrous tissue. And then I'm like, I'm just going to go to the doctor. Because I tell myself, you know me, though. Dr. V has been treating me for a while now, so every 5 seconds I'm like, I think I have cancer of the blah blah blah. Yeah, which is why I don't do it. But
no,
I'm going to.
So you have to do it. So what are the pros and cons? Do we think that there is an absolute reason to not give the pill? Well, if somebody has a cancer that actually has estrogen or progesterone receptors on it, well, that's something different. If you have a cancer that is fueled, if you will, by these hormones, no, in all due respect, that's not, the birth control for you is not going to be a hormone. You'll go more to a non-hormonal IUD, like one of the copper IUDs. You'll go to a whole different element, and that's just good medicine. You just wouldn't take hormones that could find a receptor and actually fuel a regrowth of a cell. Because remember, all the steroid hormones, and these are all steroid hormones like prednisone, people know as cortisol, the testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, they have a way of binding in the nucleus of a cell and actually causing the cell to be stimulated and grow, if you will. So they're important, right?
Yeah.
It's also why we're seeing some of these risks.
Okay, Dr. V, I am so sorry. I know you need to go. Do you have time for a couple more? You need to jam.
I do, and I think we should do the cardiovascular. Maybe we should do the cardiovascular.
Yeah, I'd love to know. Blood clots, stroke, heart attack.
Yeah, okay.
I'm keeping my checklist. I want to see where I end up here.
It's very helpful, actually. Thank you for sending that, Michelle.
Oh, you're welcome.
So should we turn maybe to the vascular elements
yes.
of what's going on with birth control?
Yeah.
Because we're saying it's really important. So what is this whole thing about blood clots? Okay, what we know, and it's very important, is that especially estrogen, we were just talking about, these hormones have huge effect on a lot of different cascades or enzyme reactions in the body. Like, we're walking lab sets, chemistry sets. That's really what we are, right? So estrogen, we know, can change clotting factors, the factors that lead to what we call thrombosis and actually cause us to clot sooner than later. The important thing is that in high doses, you're in big trouble with estrogens, especially for this. That we know. But in low doses, and that's, again, where this is what we don't know, but this is what we think, low doses, especially of the estrogens, we see that people can do very well. So once they lowered in birth control pills from the 1960s to the 70s, they really lowered the estrogen amounts, and now we have progesterone-only pills, we saw that deep venous thrombosis or clots in like your calf or in your leg, what we call thromboembolic stroke, or those are clots that occur in the blood vessels of the brain, and then clots that occur in the heart vessels that can lead to a heart attack. Again, why clots in all those areas are dangerous, but especially in the brain and in the heart, is if you don't get blood flow to your heart or to your brain, a piece of it dies. Mm. And in the brain, you have a stroke, you can't move something. In the heart, you lose some of your heart muscle, right, if you can't get blood flow because of a clot, and then you can have this heart attack. Well, heart attack just means that part of your heart died, so now it can lead to all kinds of other problems in the long run because you need that heart muscle as strong as possible. So if you're thinking about going on a birth control pill, the absolute first thing that I think is requisite, and I actually don't care what age you are, it's really important to me that you sit down. You can sit down with a good family medicine doctor, an internist, a cardiologist, sit down with your gynecologist and say, look, if you don't feel confident that they know enough and they will know this, have them send you somewhere. Go through your risk factors. Do you smoke? Are you over 35? Do you have diabetes or potential insulin resistance, meaning early onset of having some sugar issues? Are you obese? Do you have weight problems? Do you have kidney disease and high blood pressure? Do you have any other signs that are critical to what may be going on in a vascular way? The other thing that people forget is migraines with aura. So the aura is where people will have this sense. They start getting a headache, but they actually can see halos sometimes. Oof. They have some kind of a spatial visual sense that something's going to happen. We see this with our patients that, unfortunately, that have epilepsy and seizure disorders. But migraines with aura, we think that that's probably a vascular disease as well, if you will. Okay. And if you have that or any of those, it doesn't mean you can't be on birth control, but you certainly might want to pick, let's say, something with your doctor that is progestin or progesterone only, right?
Okay.
Because we've got good options now, and it really reduces clot risk, like really does. The other major things, so remember your great question, Jillian, like, are these pills different or the same? They are so different okay. that you really need a good gynecologist and a good endocrinologist to go through this with you, because it is so personalized, in my opinion, that even I, as an endocrinologist, work directly with the gynecologist so that we can figure out for that patient, what is the best way? Is it better to go bioidentical for this patient? Is it better to go progestin only? Is it better to go estrogen and progesterone? Is it better actually to think of, you know, a ring where you actually will get some of the hormone because they need a little bit, but they don't need a lot? There's a whole bunch of ways to do it. I think for certain, your age, look, we all want to age. We want to get, you know, we want to get older, but you don't have to get old.
Right. Exactly. Okay.
Okay, so you can't, okay, over 35, that's really, it used to be over 40, now the cutoff is over 35, really be aware of these risk factors for clotting. The next big one, smoking. it is a huge risk factor. And again, if your tendency is to gain weight, all those things, a couple quick tricks is, first of all, like when you're traveling, don't cross your legs, cross your ankles. I always say cross ankles, not legs, because when you cross legs, guess what's happening is you're actually cutting off in part some of that venous return and stagnant blood. You know what it's supposed to do? Clot. It's supposed to clot so you don't bleed out. Let's say if you cut your leg or something.
I've never heard this before. And I really like it. Someone once, I had some gene test and they told me I could die of a deep vein thrombosis. And I sit with my legs crossed on the plane all the time.
So do not cross your legs. Don't do that. It is just, it's like a tourniquet. Think of the power of our leg muscles. And Jillian, you know that power because you have it. And
I do. Right? Yeah, I do. So, yeah. I just uncrossed my legs. I'm not even flying. I just uncrossed my legs.
Right. Uncross. And I always remind people, I tap them, like, don't cross your legs. Wow. It's another important thing if you have a tendency for varicose veins, because then you really don't want to cross your legs. You cross your ankles. The other thing to think about, again, you have to ask your doctor, but some of the prevention methods, especially if you have a little higher risk, and let's say you're going on, let's say, a progesterone birth control pill, and you have a little bit of risk of forming these clots because of your risk calculation, again, the no smoking, don't cross your legs, think about fish oil. Fish oil, around 2,000 milligrams a day is a supplement that folks can take. And, you know, you can put, let's put the mercury questions and all those things aside for a minute, but let's just think about fish oil as it is. A lot of different cardiovascular people who are trying to do preventive cardiology will raise it to 4,000 and higher milligrams per day. Mm. Why is that? Because part of the benefit of fish oil, and I believe some studies show you even have it at the general sort of 1,000 milligrams twice a day or 2,000 milligrams a day dose, is that it's a slight blood thinner. In fact, before you go for surgeries, my patients, we stop their fish oil a week before. Because it is a slight blood thinner. You don't want to bleed in surgery, but guess what? You want a slight blood thinner, potentially, right?
Yeah.
Especially through the day. The other one is baby aspirin. There's no question that baby aspirin, which is 81 milligrams, it's not the usual 325 milligrams. There's a lot of data showing that even the 81 milligrams in terms of heart protection, because we go to all the heart data now, and we go to that whole world, that the baby aspirin really does give us protection, and it keeps our blood just a little bit thinner. So if you had risks, and let's say you add up, okay, well, I'm not obese, but I'm slightly overweight, I'm trying to stop smoking, you know, I have family members with diabetes, my blood pressure's okay, talk to your doctor, because if you want to get on a pill, you'd think about a progesterone agent, potentially, and maybe adding a fish oil and baby aspirin, that kind of thing.
Gosh,
interesting.
Dr. V, thank you so much. I honestly, you've cleared up what has actually been years of confusion for me. And I just, after reading all those risks, I was always like, no, I don't want to take my chances. But what I love the most, and what I think people do not know, is that it is about finding a pill that is unique for you and your current medical situation, and that you should be working with not just your OBGYN, but also a board-certified endocrinologist to make sure that you do this as safely as possible and minimize your risks and maximize the benefits, the possible benefits out there. So, Michelle, how do you feel?
I feel better. I feel a lot better. I mean, there's still a lot of confusing info. I mean, we could keep you here for 3 or 4 hours.
Right. But she's a patient. Many patients.
Yeah. No, we'll bring you back on. But yeah, I feel much better. And thank you so much.
And Dr. V, how do people reach you? I know your practice is full.
If you see my name, vanherle3@AOL.com, VanHerle, the number 3@AOL.com.
Dr. V, you're awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
Great info.
Thank you, Dr. V.
You are. Continue saving the world.
Yes.
Bye. Thank
you.
Bye.
What I love so much about her is that she'll give it to you straight. She's not going to be that PC doctor that's in bed with the drug companies that's going to tell you, no, it's a panacea. No.
Right.
Oh, it's the bomb. She'll tell you, like, listen, you know, we've got evidence of this. There's evidence of that. There could be some benefits here. There could be some negative sides here. Here's how you navigate it. And it's... because it's scary. Mm-hmm. It's scary. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I hope that was helpful for all our listeners
out
there.
We're very lucky to have Dr. V.
Tell me about it. She's my doctor.
She's going to be mine.
Oh, smell you. I'll always be your favorite.
you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.